Fellow Freedom fans, David Allen Carmichael here on my Faith and Freedom Show, where I'm going to talk about the issues of the day on a constitutional basis, biblical basis, and the basis of right versus wrong. Don't hesitate to check out my website. You can type in your browser, David Allen Carmichael, that's A-L-A-N, davidallencarmichael.com.net.org. Before I went to the break, I was talking about churches and wages. And if you are involved with church leadership and handling the money and hiring people and pastors and stuff like that, what is the law? What laws do you have to obey? To operate the church and to receive offerings to the Lord God Almighty and as his agent, what responsibility do you have to a secular government, whether it's the state of Florida, the United States, or the United Nations? What responsibility, or your city council, local city council, what responsibility do you have? You have none, you silly goose. I'm going to read from the U.S. tax code. See, that the United States law understands this. It's not going to spell it out for you. What it's going to do is the United States law is going to respond or bend according to law is what they're going to do. Wages. Let's read what it says, wages. So for the purpose of this chapter, that's 26 USC, that's 26 United States Code, section 3401. That's where the definitions are. The term wages, whenever you see wages, it has a definition. This is it. Means all remuneration for services performed by an employee for his employer. Means wages performed by an employee for an employer. Now, what is the meaning of employee? Who is an employee? Is that up to just whatever? It was the word employee used in the common law? Does that just mean anybody who's out there getting instructions and having some kind of activity, physical activity to carry out an instruction? Is that what an employee is? Let's see what it says here. An employee, it's 26 U.S.C. 3401, subparagraph C. For purposes of this chapter, this tax code, the term employee, this is what it includes. That's not everybody on the planet including this. This is what it includes. Includes an officer, employee, or elected official of the United States, a state, or any political subdivision thereof, or the District of Columbia, or any agency or instrumentality of any one or more of the foregoing. The term employee also includes an officer of a corporation. An employee, folks, based on this definition, is a government associate, whatever word you want to use. Officer, employee, elected official of the United States. Officer, employee, or elected official of a state. Officer, employee, elected official of any political subdivision thereof. Officer, employee, or elected official of the District of Columbia. Officer, employee, elected official of any agency or instrumentality of any one of those. And it also includes an officer of a corporation. That's what an employee is. Is a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ an employee? Well, some would be if you were a chaplain in the United States Navy, for instance. You'd be an officer of the United States. That's what you would be. If you're a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, operating as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're not an employee. Now, I will tell you, you can elect to be one. You can be self-employed. You can opt into the United States employer program. You can, I guess if they fire you, you can claim unemployment benefits. You can get a federal benefit if you will fill out an SS4 form and get into the social welfare state of the federal government. They can't impose it on you. And hopefully I'll get a chance to talk about some Supreme Court cases, especially one on religion, Bernie versus Flores. I think it was a 1997 decision that a lot of people cried about, but I thought it was very well done by the U.S. Supreme Court, where it shows that the federal government, Congress, cannot impose anything on you. Okay? They can't do it. But if you would like to opt into their social welfare program, even though you're a minister of the gospel and trusting God, you can become a ward of the United States. Just take an SS4 form and you will be self-employed. If you don't fill out that form, you're just merely a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ with getting your survival from the offerings in your church. Well, you're not an employee. You're not an employer. You're not self-employed. You're not a self-employee. You're a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's outside the jurisdiction of the United States or Florida or any locality to impose any rules upon anything that is really, literally dealing with the church and its operation. This I was reading from the statute 26 United States Code, Section 3401, definitions. For the purpose of this chapter, the term wages means all remuneration performed by an employee. Well, if you want to be self-employed, I guess you could do it. Fill out the form. Make a vow. You're stuck with it. Except that such term shall not include remuneration, listen, for services performed by a duly ordained, commissioned, or licensed minister of a church in the exercise of his ministry, or by a member of a religious order in the exercise of duties required by such order. Is that just by the grace of Congress? Do you hear that? These are not wages. Any money given for services performed by a duly ordained, commissioned, or licensed minister. What if the term, you know, you've got a certificate or no certificate. It doesn't say ordained, commissioned, or licensed. But listen what it goes on. Or by a member of a religious order in the exercise of duties required by such order. Ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ. Go, therefore, make disciples. Preach the gospel. Make disciples. Those aren't wages. It's outside the jurisdiction of this definition machine. Am I making this up? 888-850-1872. I'm troubled by what I see. And I just have seen recently where somebody, I don't know how they got this a social security number related to this person, but I've seen where somebody's operating and treating somebody who's ministering the gospel as if they're an employee because they're just, I think, hell-bent to do so. It's a deception. I don't think they have a mean spirit in their heart, but I've seen people just with a accountant, a commercial accountant mentality, trying to obey every ordinance of men in the IRS code, forgetting that there's a higher law that governs whether or not the IRS code can apply. And they've forsaken their religion, which is their duty to Almighty God, and they've embraced a mechanism of men. And it's troubling to me. 888-850-1872. One of the things that many will do, they'll read the 501c requirements. In fact, as I'll just, you know, I hear these terms at church from people who handle the money. Well, if we can't cash this check prior to Wednesday, January 3rd, if you give us this check on December 31st, well, you can't deduct it off your taxes. What business is it of anybody in a church to tell anybody any tax advice or make any determinations of law with regard to United States tax code? They're speaking out of order. Somebody needs to lovingly silence that. It's none of their business. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 that we were supposed to be giving in secret. And our Father in heaven would reward us openly. Now, that goes into a whole lot of things you can think about, what you do with your giving records and things like that. But the statement, and here's another thing that happens. They make it a very deliberate determination to make decisions about when something will be budgeted. And they make sure, well, and they'll say stuff like, well, if it's not budgeted before January 1st, we can't budget it. In other words, they're guiding their decisions about church spending on the basis of their personal interpretation of the United States tax code. What does United States tax code have to do with dealing with that money that is given as an offering to the Lord and his servants? It's a gift to God. It is God's. It is not Caesar's. Why are you thinking? Why are you even? And the other thing is, I would say in my state, if you are an employee or whatever it is you're doing and you're not a licensed practitioner of law, you're not supposed to be making determinations of law. What are you doing acting like a lawyer in the middle of a church? So those are things that are troubling me, and that's came up this week, and it sounds like I've got a pet peeve. But watch this. So if you're just real good about reading the U.S. tax code, you've read 26 U.S.C. 501 subsection C subsection 3, and you're real excited about all the ordinances that you'd like to obey, it's because what happened is that there's something wrong with it. They have no authority to direct you to do all those things, and you say, oh, shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. Well, just continue to read on 26 U.S.C. 508 subsection C. It says it's called mandatory exceptions, not exemptions. You're going to see the word exemption all through that section, all through those sections at 500 series. That sequence of instructions. You're going to see the word exemption all over the place. But look at this. Mandatory exceptions. Subsections A and B shall not apply to what? Churches, their integrated auxiliaries, and conventions or associations of churches. If it's the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's a different kingdom. It's a mandatory exception. You don't have to request an exemption. There's a mandatory exception. This statute is directed toward the government. It's telling the government these entities are not to be, you have no authority to require anything from churches. They're integrated auxiliaries and conventions or associations of churches. Is it limited to those statements? Those are general terms that you basically are associating things that is the function of the church of Jesus Christ. There's no requirement anywhere for anybody to file for 501c3. And if you disagree with that, you give me a call, 888-850-1872. Whether you want to tell me where it's required in the Bible or in the United States tax code, I'd love it. In fact, I encourage you, if your church or association, I don't know how the church can be an employer, but your little paperwork club, whatever you've created for something that you're going to fill out, you've got trustees or whatever, if somebody filed an SS4 form, why did they do it? Because they believed they should? On what basis? What's the law say? What does the 26 U.S.C., the United States Code, title or volumes, section of volumes 26, where is there a requirement for a church to file an SS4 to become an employer? I'd like to actually have anybody call me if you can find out where it directs any business, local business, to file a form to become a United States employer. Naturally, you wouldn't be a United States employer under the definition, employee. The term employee, and I'm going to take a call here, the term employee includes an officer, employee, or elected official of the United States, a state, or any political subdivision thereof, or etc. So you've got to fill out an SS4 to become an employer, you see? Otherwise, you would not naturally be one. We're going to take a call. Caller, thank you for calling Frank Talk 104.3 FM. What's your question or comment?
This is Roy.
Hey, Roy.
I have wondered for a long time about this 501c3. A lot of churches have signed up with the government as to a 501c3, meaning that they are not for profit. Now, is there something wrong with that?
Well, yeah, because it's not natural.
They have no right. The government has no right to expect you to sign that.
Well, hey, Roy, we're going to have to go to a break real quick because you called just before my break.
Want to stick around? You want to call in how long?
Well, tell you what, if you'll call me back in 3 minutes, we'll put you on hold, or you can be on hold for the next five. But, folks, we're going to come back. Just stay in the line right now, would you, Roy? We're going to come back with Frank Talk 104.3 FM. We're going to talk about this issue. If you're a church leader, organizer, whatever, I want you to listen. Call your friends. Scrutinize me. Check this stuff, okay? And we'll be back, and the number here will be 888-850-1872, or you can go online to check this out by video, faithfreedoms.org.